Are you looking forward to the day of the Lord? Is the day of the Lord the same thing as the return of Christ? What does the Bible say about our future here on earth as people? What does the Bible require of us? What does God require of us? Well, this is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. I have noticed that things are very different outside right now. It doesn't look right. The sky does not look right. It looks weird to me. The clouds don't look right. The air doesn't even smell right or feel right. It looks polluted. It looks smothered. And it looks like it's going to kill a lot of trees and turn them brown. I've already got trees that are brown. And they should be green here in Florida. It hasn't rained a good rain here for months. But, you know, we're spoiled. During David's time, there was a famine and a drought for 3 solid years. In the time of Joseph, Egypt had a famine for 7 years. Can you imagine going without rain for 7 long years? There'd be nothing left. Nothing left but sand. All the trees would have long since died away. Most of the trees around here are very shallow rooted. So it doesn't take a lot of drought to make a big problem for those poor trees. So what do you think about the day of the Lord, famine, disease, and drought? There are at least 4 or 5 rivers that I know of that are drying up. The Euphrates, for one. The Yangtze in China, drying up. What about the Danube? Do you know it's at a 500-year low right now? All of Europe depends on the Danube. And the Colorado and Lake Mead and the Mississippi. What is going on? Why are there famines all over the world today? Well, I'm here to say that what I think is happening is mankind is trying to control the weather. They've been trying that since I was a kid and Lyndon Johnson was president. I was 12. Lyndon Johnson talked about a weather satellite that could be used for that, to control the weather. He said something like, if you can control the weather, you can control the economies of the world, you can control the people of the world, you can control the food of the world, all of which is true. In the Bible, you will find places where the famines and the droughts and the floods and even earthquakes were caused by the people aggravating their creator. Do you think it would be wise for us to try to control the weather? Would God be happy about that? Those that want to do that are godless people that could care less about whether there is a God or not. That's a scary place to be. What we really need is repentance. We need to stop trying to control the weather. This is God's domain, not mankind's. I'd like us to turn, first of all, to Amos chapter 5 and starting in verse 18. Listen to this. This is what we need here in America, at least. What sorrow awaits you who say, if only the day of the Lord were here. You have no idea what you're wishing for. That day will bring darkness, not light. In that day you will be like a man who runs from a lion only to meet a bear. Escaping from the bear, he leans his hand against a wall on his house, and he's bitten by a snake. Yes, the day of the Lord will be darkness and hopeless, without a ray of joy or hope. That doesn't sound like a very good day to me at all. He goes on to say, I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Was it to me that you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during the 40 years in the wilderness, O Israel? No, you served your pagan gods, Sakuth, your king god, and Kaiwan, your star god, the images you made for yourselves. So I will send you into exile to a land east of Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of Heaven's armies. But today, we don't do these things. We don't create gods. We don't bow down to idols or anything like that. Now, do we? Do we sacrifice our children at the altar and kill them? Of course we do. We've done that for years to the tune of 60 million or so a year in the form of abortion. What's the point of getting an abortion? Well, children are inconvenient. They're expensive, and we can't afford them. So we kill them. We abort them. Oh, it's just tissue. That's not a baby. Well, it's not a horse. No, it is a baby, and it would have lived had you not killed it. And this is what I would tell anybody who doesn't know any better, that we don't need to do that. There are other ways around that, like adopting them out. My own mother was an adopted child. The father had been a worker on the farm. He already had at least 7 or 8 children. And the mother, my mother's mother, died in childbirth for her. So the father had no way to take care of the child. And so he adopted it out. And my mother never got over that. She never felt accepted. It's too bad. It's a shame. But we should not abort our children. If you're contemplating that, please reconsider. Each life is precious. God is not going to be happy with us when we do such things. And what about going after other gods? Do we not do that? I think we do, especially in America. We need one thing that we lack. Repentance. We need to turn back to the Lord our God and seek to serve and obey Him. Carrying on in chapter 6, what sorrow awaits you who lounge in luxury? And it's talking about Jerusalem, but the principle's the same for us. And also you who feel secure in Samaria, or the United States, I might say. You are famous and popular in Israel, and people go to you for help. But go over to Calneh and see what happened there. Then go to the great city of Hamath, and go down to the Philistine city of Gath, or Gath. You are no better than they were. and look how they were destroyed. You push away every thought of coming disaster. You don't want to hear about it. We want to be taught pleasant things, happy things, things that are good. Well, who doesn't? But we need to be brought to reality as well. Your actions only bring the day of judgment closer, he says here. How terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock or of choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp, or in our case, the guitar. And you fancy yourselves to be great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowl full and perfume yourselves with fragrant lotions. Do you do that? Most Americans do. You care nothing about the ruin of your nation. Therefore, you will be the first to be led away as captives. Suddenly, all your parties will end. The sovereign Lord has sworn by his own name, and this is what he, the Lord God of heaven's army, says. I despise the arrogance of Israel, and I hate their fortresses. I will give this city and everything in it to their enemies. If there were 10 men left in one house, they will all die. And when a relative who is responsible to dispose of the dead goes into the house to carry the bodies out, he will ask the last survivor, "Is anyone else with you?" When the person begins to swear, "No, by so-and-so," he will interrupt and say, "Stop, don't even mention the name of the Lord." When the Lord gives the command, homes, both great and small, will be smashed to pieces. Let's all keep in mind, shall we, that God owns everything you have, and he owns you and me as well. I don't own any of the stuff that I have here in the house, or my vehicles, or anything else. I'm not here permanently. I design buildings. I design homes. And I've done it for 52 years now. I had a client that they were in their 80s and they wanted to build a 4-bedroom complex house. And I'm thinking to myself, why on earth would they do that? So I asked them and they said, well, we're going to leave it to our grandchildren and so on. It'll give them an incentive to come. Well, there's some merit to that. At least they want to love their grandchildren. And we all who have grandchildren want that. But we all need more wisdom as to how we're going to spend our money, especially now. With famines coming and with disease epidemics, with pestilences, with dope and drugs everywhere, with abortions. There's so many problems and sins in our day and in our time. It's hard to number them all. And they're getting progressively worse. And so is the drought. So what follows drought? Famine. What follows famine? Death and disease. So that's what we can expect in the future. In verse 12 of chapter 6 in Amos, he continues, "Can horses gallop over boulders?" Of course not. "Can oxen be used to plow them?" Plow boulders? No. "But that's how foolish you are when you turn justice into poison and the sweet fruit of righteousness into bitterness, and you brag about your conquest of Lodibar. And I'm not sure what that's really all about. Lodibar means nothing. It means nothing. So it's your conquest of nothing. In other words, fruitless things that don't really matter. You boast, we didn't take Karnaim by our own strength. Or didn't we do that? Well, yeah, they think they did. Maybe God allowed them to. O people of Israel, I am about to bring an enemy nation against you, says the Lord God of heaven's armies. This could apply to America. Doesn't do that specifically. They will oppress you throughout your land, from Lebo Hamath in the north to the Araba Valley in the south. God has ways of dealing with sinful people. But listen to what he says in the next chapter, chapter 7 of Amos. The sovereign Lord showed me a vision. A vision is like a dream that reveals things. I saw him preparing to send a vast swarm of locusts over the land. What would happen if that were to happen here in Florida? There would be nothing left green. It would all be eaten by the locusts. Locusts are grasshoppers. This was after the king's share had been harvested from the fields and the main crop was coming up. In my vision, the locusts ate every green plant in sight. Then I said, O sovereign Lord, please forgive us or we will not survive, for Israel is so small. You know, God has a way of reducing pompous America down to something very, very different than what we grew up with. Once a mighty and powerful nation may not have its wealth that long from now. We publish money like there's no tomorrow and we have nothing to back it up with. That can't go on forever. Verse 3. So the Lord relented from his plan. I will not do it, he said. You see how God is? That's his nature. He does not want to hurt people. He is not bitter or angry, that is, uncontrollably. But the day of the wrath of the Lord is on its way. Then the sovereign Lord showed me another vision. I saw him preparing to punish his people with a great fire. Oh, what could cause a great fire? Well, a drought, for one thing. Stuff in my backyard right now is very tender dry. Anything could set it on fire. A spark, for example. The fire had burned up the depths of the sea, and it was devouring the entire land. Then I said, O sovereign Lord, please stop, or we will not survive, for Israel is so small. Then, again, the Lord relented from this plan too. I will not do that either, said the sovereign Lord. He wants nothing more than repentance. Now, you can prove that through Scripture. Just flip back to Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. That's easy, 33:11. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn, turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel, or the United States. Why should you die? Son of man, give your people this message. The righteous behavior of righteous people will not save them if they turn to sin. Nor will the wicked behavior of the wicked people destroy them if they repent and turn from their sins. You see what God is like? He wants people to turn away from their sins because sin hurts people. When I tell righteous people that they will live, but then they sin, expecting their past righteousness to save them, then none of their righteous acts will be remembered. That's scary. I will destroy them for their sins. And suppose I tell some wicked people that they will surely die. But then they turn from their sins and do what is just and right. For instance, they might give back a debtor's security, return what they have stolen, and obey my life-giving laws, no longer doing what is evil. If they do this, then they will surely live and not die. None of their past sins will be brought up again, for they have done what is just and right. They will surely live. He wants them to live, not die. Your people are saying the Lord isn't doing what's right. Before you accuse God of that, let me tell you, you better think about it. But it is they who are not doing what is right. For again, I say, when righteous people turn away from their righteous and their righteous behavior and turn to evil, they will die. But if wicked people turn from their wickedness and do what is just and right, then they will live. O people of Israel, O people of the United States, I would say, you are saying the Lord isn't doing what's right, but I judge each of you according to your deeds. God knows. He sees. He sees what we do, what we say, what we think, who we're with, and what we're doing. He watches. His eyes roam the earth, and he sees what goes on in every life. After all, he does own them, and he hates wickedness, and he hates pride. In verse 28, he says, I will completely destroy the land and demolish her pride. Her arrogant power will come to an end. The mountains of Israel will be so desolate that no one will even travel through them. When I have completely destroyed the land because of their detestable sins, then they will know that I am the Lord, the boss. Son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words, sexual innuendos, for example, and their hearts seek only after money. That's their God. They're worshiping a wrong God. Money can't save you in the day of famine. You are very entertaining to them, like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. But when all these terrible things happen to them, as they certainly will, then they will know a prophet has been among them. And that's the end of chapter 33 of Ezekiel. In chapter 34, listen to what he says in verse 11 and onwards. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. That's a little hint about what we're going to have in the future. God's not going to put up with this manipulation of his weather for long. And it's all a fraud. It's all a big fat lie. They say they're doing it to prevent global warming or climate change. Well, they're causing it. They're causing this change so that they can prove to the world, to all people, that their existence and their work is valuable or important. Well, let me tell you, they should stop. And I mean, like yesterday. They're going to ruin all the weather. They're going to ruin all the lakes and rivers and streams and the ocean too. Everything in the ocean will die. But to continue, for this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel, or maybe the United States, from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land. You see what God is up to? He's trying to rescue people, trying to give them what they need. But we don't want God meddling in our business. And that's what's unfortunate. Continuing now back to Amos 8, verse 8. The earth will tremble for your deeds, and everyone will mourn. Didn't we see that in Matthew 24? Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. But to continue here, the ground will rise like the Nile River in flood time. It will heave up, then sink again. In that day, I will make the sun go down at noon, says the Sovereign Lord, and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning, and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads to show sorrow, as if your only son had died. How very bitter that day will be. The time is surely coming, says the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You want to know what's going to happen in the future? Churches are going to fade into the background and become home churches, more than likely. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border, searching for the word of God, but they will not find it. Well, this is Albert Hardy for Bible Prophecy Radio. There's more of this heading our way, folks. We need to all prep. That is, store food, like stuff that'll last a long time, like grain, and keep it cold and dry, as cold as possible. It'll last for years. That's what we need to store, and we need to learn to eat it. We need a way to grind it into something we can use to bake bread or make cereal or something like that. So I would say, try to go after some of that with every paycheck. Buy extra food and store it away. A little each time might save your lives and the lives of your family. You can go to my website, itellwhy.com, and read more. I don't know everything either, but there are things there that you can learn because you can read them right out of the Bible. And you can trust that. Don't trust me. Trust what you see in God's Word. That's the source of truth. So until next time, please start prepping a little bit.